Hello and welcome to Scripture Verse by Verse, and this our 14th study in the book of Deuteronomy. Today we come to Deuteronomy chapter 9, beginning our study in verse 1. Let's pray. Lord, we ask that our hearts are good ground, that we would hear your word and understand your word, and that your word would bear fruit in our lives 100-fold. In Jesus' name, amen. Moses is speaking to the nation Israel before he dies and before they enter into the promised land. And he says in Deuteronomy chapter 9, verse 1, "Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go in and dispossess nations greater and stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The cities in the Holy Land were large and fortified, as much as any city back in those days could be. It would be way too tough of a job for the Israelites to conquer these people, except for the fact that God will do the work, and he will be with them every step of the way." Verse 2. "The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them and have heard it said, 'Who can stand up against the Anakites?'" And so a common proverb of that day was, "Who can stand up against the Anakites?" And the answer to that proverb is, God can. And it's a good thing God is with Israel, because they cannot. Verse 3. "But be assured today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly, as the Lord has promised you." Man, even with all of his technology, man cannot stop a tidal wave of water or a raging, consuming fire. It's true. Water and fire. When it gets out of control, it is out of control. And they are just unstoppable once they really get going. And God is referred to as a consuming fire or a devouring fire. And that is because God is unstoppable as well once he determines to do something, like he determined to defeat Israel's enemies in the Holy Land and give that land to them. Nothing will stop him. Verse 4, "After the Lord your God has driven them out before you, do not say to yourself, 'The Lord has brought me here to take possession of this land because of my righteousness.' No, it is on account of the wickedness of these nations that the Lord is going to drive them out before you." Nothing comes more natural to sinful man than to think that if they are blessed, it is because they deserve it. Reality is, even the best of us deserve God's wrath, because we've all sinned against him. All blessings are products of God's grace. And God warns Israel not to become vain, thinking, "Well, we conquered the Holy Land because we are so wonderful. You know, God just couldn't resist giving it to us because we're such wonderful people." Just not true. Verse 5. "It is not because of your righteousness or your integrity that you are going to take possession of their land, but on account of the wickedness of these nations, the Lord your God will drive them out before you to accomplish what he swore to your fathers, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob." The reason God has said that he's going to be so severe on the Canaanites and not allow any survivors is because they were so wicked and so determined to remain that way. verse 6. Understand then that it is not because of your righteousness that the Lord your God has given you this good land to possess, for you are a stiff-necked people. Israel, once again, is reminded. They are not receiving the Holy Land because they are good. Because they are not good. They are bad. They are receiving that land because God is good. And He gives good things to people who really do not deserve them. Verse 7. Remember this, and never forget how you provoked the Lord your God to anger in the desert. From the day you left Egypt until you arrived here, you have been rebellious against the Lord. You say, I don't think God is helping Israel's sense of self-esteem. You say, I don't think God is helping Israel's sense of self-worth. Well, there's a good reason for that. It's because they've been rotten from day one. God has been very good to them, and they have repaid Him with sin every day. Verse 8. At Horeb, or that would be Mount Sinai, you aroused the Lord's wrath so that He was angry enough to destroy you. Making the golden calf and worshiping it while Moses was on the mountain receiving the laws was one of the worst things that Israel ever did. It was enough to make God want to destroy all of them and start over with Moses. 9. When I went up on the mountain to receive the tablets of stone, the tablets of the covenant that the Lord had made with you, I stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. I ate no bread and drank no water. God miraculously sustained Moses for the 40 days that he was doing the holy work of receiving the law. There is no explanation other than that for him surviving without food and water. Clearly, it was a miracle. Verse 10, the Lord gave me 2 stone tablets inscribed by the finger of God. On them were all the commandments the Lord proclaimed to you on the mountain out of the fire on the day of the assembly. Now, if you've been with us through the book of Exodus, and you know what God is referring to here, what a spiritual treasure Israel had with those 2 stone tablets. Amazing. First, if you remember, God spoke the 10 commandments to the people out loud. They were all gathered at the foot of Mount Sinai. And that thing was just blazing with a holy fire. And God spoke out of the fire out loud enough for all those Israelites to hear Him speak the 10 commandments. Then God Himself wrote them in the same order that He spoke them on the stone tablets, written with the finger of God. And they had possession of those things. What a treasure. Verse 11. At the end of the 40 days and 40 nights, the Lord gave me the 2 stone tablets, the tablets of the covenant. 2 things actually happened on the 40th day Moses was on Mount Sinai. 2 things. On that last day, God gave Moses the 10 commandments on the 2 stone tablets. And on that day, the Israelites below the mountain were making the golden calf and worshiping it. Verse 12. Then the Lord told me, go down from here at once, because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, have become corrupt. They have turned away quickly from the command, from what I commanded them, and have made a cast idol for themselves. Notice that God says, go down from here at once because your people, whom you brought up out of Egypt, about 7 weeks after being rescued from Egypt by all those miraculous plagues that God sent on the Egyptians, about 7 weeks after that, the Israelites corrupt themselves with the sin of idolatry, with that golden calf. And God was so angry that He didn't even call them His people. He referred to them as Moses' people. Verse 13. And the Lord said to me, I have seen this people. They are a stiff-necked people. Indeed, stiff-necked. After giving Moses the Ten Commandments while he was on that mountain, and before Moses comes down from the mountain, God tells Moses that the Israelites are stiff-necked. That is, they are unwilling to submit to God. It's not that they couldn't submit to God. They were stiff-necked. They were unwilling to submit to God. And it's the same today. Since man still has a free will, when they sin, it is because they are unwilling to do the right thing at that moment. We are a stiff-necked people when we choose to sin of our own free will. 14. God said this to Moses at that time, Let me alone, so that I may destroy them and blot out their name from under heaven, and I will make you into a nation stronger and more numerous than they. When God told Moses to leave him alone at that time, God was saying, Moses, don't say a single word to me on behalf of Israel. Do not pray to me so that I can wipe them out. I'll wipe them out so completely that no one anywhere will be known as an Israelite ever again. So don't even talk to me about them. 15. So I turned and went down from the mountain while it was ablaze with fire. And the two tablets of the covenant were in my hands. That mountain was still burning with a literal fire. And so that mountain actually had been burning with a literal fire and in the fire the presence of God for 6 weeks. And that was the same fire that God spoke audibly from. Caused the Israelites to cover their ears and say, Don't speak to us anymore, God. Speak to Moses and let him pass the word on to us, because they couldn't take it. They were so afraid. It was that same fire that was there for 6 weeks. But it did not deter Israel from this sin of idolatry. Verse 16. When I looked, Moses says, all I had to do was look. I saw that you had sinned against the Lord your God. You had made for yourselves an idol cast in the shape of a calf. You had turned aside quickly from the way the Lord had commanded you. All Moses had to do was look. And he could see that the Israelites were sinning, and what a horrible sin it was. In addition to being ungodly, it was just packed full of ingratitude toward God. And it was downright stupid, to be honest with you. There they are, dancing around a golden calf, worshiping a chunk of metal. 17, we stop with this today. So I took the two stone tablets and threw them out of my hands, breaking them to pieces before your eyes. Moses smashed the two tablets of the Ten Commandments as a symbol of how the Israelites had smashed them in their hearts by their sin. Well, we'll stop there for now. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray that you would teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Let the beauty of the Lord our God rest upon us and establish the work of our hands for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Until next time. Mike Moret here, reminding you to stay in the Word and stay in prayer. Until next time, so long, everyone.